The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Thank you all for putting forth a great effort on a morning like this. And I want to ask you to take your Bible or take your phone or your app or whatever you're going to do and turn with me to 1 John. And the assigned text we're going to look at this morning. And so if you'll turn to 1 John, and I want to kind of briefly walk through several verses of Scripture this morning that have to do with doubt and removing doubt. And the idea of the behind the message is that there are testing points in our life. Now, if you've just gone through finals, then you know that there are tests connected with it. It was always good to have good enough grades where you didn't have to take finals. But that didn't happen to me very often. In fact, I had one final in a chemistry class where the professor told me that if I made 100 on the chemistry test, he would pass me. Otherwise, he was going to fail me. Well, I failed that chemistry class. So you got tests that come. And it's not just that. You got all kinds of tests that come. And if you think that you're going to live a life where you're going to stop being tested, that's just not true. This is kind of a test for us today. Because you'd think, well, we'd like to have every seat filled, but it's not. There are all kinds of tests that come in life. And, you know, you think, we feel like the further we go in life, the easier things are going to get. That's not necessarily true. And I see a lot of evidence in God's Word that when you are in the first grade, you learn to count. I didn't go to kindergarten. We didn't have kindergarten back in my day. So in the first grade, you're learning your numbers. And then you're learning your letters. And you're going to take some tests. You're going to have some mathematic tests. You're going to have some math tests. You're going to have some writing tests. You're going to have some spelling tests. And everything that you're going to learn going on from the first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way to graduation of high school, all the way graduation, they are all based upon those early lessons we learned. You've got to learn the basics. And I believe with all my heart that moving forward in the Christian life, the basic thing is that you've got to know Christ. You must know Him. There is no growth. There is no going on. And the enemy has this thing, and we have a real enemy. He is a real enemy. And what he does is he puts doubt in our heart. Like, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't think this. Are you all with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, and if you were a Christian, you wouldn't do this. And if you're a Christian, you wouldn't be tempted by this. And if you were a Christian, you would not have said this. All kinds of things. Doubts come. Like, you prayed a prayer and it didn't come out. God didn't answer the prayer the way you thought He should have answered the prayer. That brings about doubt. Something happened years ago, and it's not as fresh in your mind or heart today as it was years ago. That brings about doubt. Or you go in your life through a period of time with you say, well, I know that God has done great things, but I'm struggling right now. Everybody struggles. Nobody gets through life without struggles. I don't care who you are, how much success you have, how many times you're on the evening news. There's not anyone that doesn't have struggles. But we have Jesus. Jesus is above all. And I think about what John, the apostle, who gave us John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in the book of Revelation, who never said, this is what happened to me, but he referred to himself in the Gospel of John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. How about that? Just say, Jesus loved me. This I know. I know it. Because he sat at his right hand. And then we open 1 John and we read these words in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, Our hands have handled the word of life. John said, I had the opportunity to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I saw him. I heard him. I touched him. I witnessed what Jesus did. I have a Savior like that. He saw all of that. And he also saw what it was like for people to fall and mess up. In fact, he might have said, well, I know a guy named Simon Peter. And I remember what happened to that particular Simon Peter, not you, Simos, but that particular Simon Peter, because he messed up. But this is what he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a Savior that forgives us of our sin. And then the assigned text for me today is this, and we're going to read several verses, and then I'm going to move on through toward the rest of the book. In verse 3, it says of chapter 2, verse 3, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Well, that's important, because the evidence is what's in our heart is going to come out. He that says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected or made complete. I'm reading out of the King James Version, so the translation may be a little different than yours. Therefore know we that we are in him. So therefore we know that we know him. He that says he abides in him should walk even as he walked. We walk like Jesus. Brothers, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. So he said, I don't write a new commandment. So in other words, this is something you have known all along, but now I'm writing this to you. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him, in you, because the darkness is past, the true light now is shining, and that's Jesus. And he says, he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is not in the light, he's in darkness. He that loves his brother abides in the light. There is no occasion to stumble. Now, we come down to verse 15. And he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Now, I want you to look across the page. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Listen to this. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brothers. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And now turn the page again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And then 1 John 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And I take this passage this morning, this whole book, and it comes down to 1 John 5, 13, which says, the reason I have written these five chapters, all of these verses, is that you will not doubt your salvation. You will not doubt that God loves you or that God sent his Son into your life. You will not doubt that you've been forgiven of your sins. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, without a doubt. So when I was a little boy, about 6 years old, 7 years old, I don't know, our church was having a special series of revival meetings. We had an evangelist come and preach. There were a lot of people that responded during that period of time, and they came forward and they pledged their life to Jesus. They committed their life to Jesus, and they were baptized in the Ohio River I was one of them, but I was just a little kid. And so I didn't really, I answered all the questions right, but I didn't fully understand what it really meant to follow Christ. And time went along, I was very active in church and all that. But then when I went to college, I think in high school and then in college also, but I really began to doubt, do I really know the Lord? That happens, I think, with growing up and with maturity. But in the midst of all of that, it's like, if I knew the Lord, would I have this sin in my life? If I knew the Lord, would I think these thoughts? If I knew the Lord. And, you know, sometimes doubts come from the devil, who's trying to give you more doubt. But sometimes doubt really comes from the Holy Spirit, who's trying to relieve you of your doubt. Does that make sense? He is trying to he's trying to bring you from the point of doubting to the point of absolute assurance that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Well, I was a sophomore at the University of Kentucky, and at that time across the country, God was doing some things among students. It was, looking back historically, it was called the Jesus Movement. And so it started out in California with these people that are old now, but they were called hippies back in those days, and it moved across this country on different college campuses. I don't know what may have happened at Lincoln, but I know what was going on at the University of Kentucky in the 70s. One thing, we had a war going on in Vietnam, but on this here, God was moving. And by the way, that is exactly what needs to happen on the campus of Lincoln. We need to see a genuine movement of God. God has done it before. He can do it again. Well, we had an evangelist come in Memorial Coliseum, huge building that seated about 12,000. And I remember all the students, many, many students, piling into that building to hear an evangelist preach the gospel. Students don't do that. College students don't do that. If we said, now we're going to have a speaker and we're going to meet over here at the football stadium and we're going to see the whole campus come out. Well, that doesn't happen. The only way that happens is if God begins to show up. God begins to move. And it can happen because He can stir up a whole college campus to begin to seek the Lord. And it was not at that meeting, but it wasn't very long after that, at a revival meeting. Betty and I were dating in those days, but at a revival meeting, that God got a hold of my heart and He showed me that I really wasn't saved, that I need to be saved. And I was saved. Now this text has five different tests that you can ask yourself to know, do I really know the Lord? Do I really know the Lord? Why should I be doubting? Well, here they are, number one through five. Number one, have I dealt with my sin? That's the first question on this test. Has there been a time when I dealt with my sin? You see, with the movement of the Holy Spirit in our life, He puts pressure on us. Maybe we don't sleep well. Maybe we don't digest our food well. Maybe we're just uncomfortable all the time. You're like, there's something wrong. I don't know what it is. But the work of the Holy Spirit in our life convicts us ultimately of our sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. If we confess our sin, well, what does that mean? We agree with what God says about our sin. We agree it is sin, but we agree with what God says about our sin. And it was our sin to put Jesus on the cross. If we confess our sin, God, I agree with you that I am a sinner and I stand in need of a Savior. If we confess our sin, here's what He says in verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us. If you confess your sin, it is the justice of God that takes all of your sin and takes it from you and gives you the righteousness. All of the righteousness of Jesus Christ is laid upon you. So question number one is, what about your sin? Have you dealt with your sin? Now, here's the second question on the test, comes down to our text, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and he's just faking it. There were a lot of people in Jesus' day that faked it. They were called Pharisees, and they claimed to be something they were not. In fact, the Bible says they laid laws on people. They laid laws and tradition on people. And they did not touch those weights that they laid on people with their little finger. They didn't live it. Years ago, I heard somebody say, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. It's a turn of a phrase. Your walk talks, well, we know that because your walk, people see you. They see what you do. They know the kind of life that you live. Your walk talks. Then there are the words that come out of your mouth that people hear, your talk talks. But if your talk and your walk, are y'all with me? If your talk and your walk are not the same, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. People see you. This text says, he that saith, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. Here's the second part of this test. Is it the deepest desire of my heart to obey God? Do I really want to obey him? Then my life, my walk, and my talk should line up. And that also figures into the remainder of this text that we read this morning, and that is our relationship with others around us. And I'm going to get to that point here in just a little bit, but your walk talks and your talk talks in relationship to how you love one another, how you treat your brother, how you treat your sister. So now here's the third test, the third question of the test. It's found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, question number one, have I dealt with my sin problem? Question number two, do I have a deep desire in my heart? It doesn't mean I'm perfect, but do I have a desire? God puts a desire in our heart to obey the Lord. So, do I want to keep his commandments? Here's question number three. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So do I have a deeper desire for the things of God than I do the things of the world? I want the things of God to flourish. We can get caught up in all kinds of things. From making money, that's one thing. Everybody does. Maybe somebody wrecks a car and you got to make more money to get that car. We can get caught up in politics. That's where a lot of people, they think that politics is going to change the world. Politics is not going to change the world. It's not going to save the world. Only Jesus can do that. And our love of things, you know, when life is over, we're not going to take any of those things with us. And so, but the greatest thing is our love for God. And this is what he says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all of that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So the third question would be, do I really love the things of God more than I do the things of the world? And that is a question that the United States needs to answer, but it's a question that everybody needs to answer. Do I really want to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? And let it be thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my own life, in my own heart. So on this test, number one, have I dealt with my sin? Number two, do I desire? It doesn't mean I'm perfect, but do I have a deep desire to do what God would want me to do, to keep his commandments? Number three, is, do I love the things of God more than the things of the world? Number four is this question. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brothers. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So a lot of people walk through life hating others that are not like them or somebody that has offended them in some way. But the Bible says that we have a love for the people of God. We have a greater love. We have a love for the brethren. Now, on a typical morning when you all gather here, this is not a typical morning, but you have the brothers and sisters that are gathered here as a part of Soma Church, and I understand that. And so all these years at Concord, I had brothers and sisters gathered together. Now we're kind of having an itinerant ministry where we get in the car on Sunday morning and Betty says, where are we going this week? But we've been in a lot of different kinds of churches. They're not Baptists. They're not all Baptists. We've been in Christian churches. We've been in evangelical churches. We've been wherever God has let us go. I've not turned anybody down. I've gone. But this is what I've discovered. I found in every place we've been a group of people that really do love Jesus. It's very easy to fall in love with people that love the same Jesus that you love. And so there's this family kind of love. Do you love the brethren? If you've picked out a group of people that you really don't like, in fact, you're not going to love them, then you should have a question in my mind. Do I really know Jesus if I don't love his people? If I don't love his children, do I really know him? So test question number one, what have I done with my sin? Test question number two, do I have a deep desire in my heart to keep his commandments? Test question number three, do I love the things of God more than the things of the world? Test question number four, do I love the people of God? Because I ought to. And test question number five is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13, and it's this. Hereby we do know, here's that word know again, hereby we do know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit live in me? Well, the answer should be yes. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, we could say God came in me, he did. Jesus came into my heart, he did. But when Jesus was going away, he said, I go to the Father, but I will pray for you, and he will send you another comforter, another of the same kind comforter who will dwell in you. And so the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. When? We don't have to ask the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, he comes to live inside of us at that very point. The Bible describes it as we're baptized by the Holy Spirit at that point, but he comes to live inside us. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? I know what I'm supposed to do based upon this Bible, which is the operator's manual for what it means to be a Christian and to follow Christ. But also, we pray and we hear. We don't just talk, we listen. How do we listen? Whom do we listen to? We listen to the Holy Spirit who has come inside of us, and he seals us. And so there are times when you say, well, I don't know what I feel, I don't know what I should do, but there are also times when you sense the Holy Spirit is at work in my heart. God is at work in my heart by his Holy Spirit. And ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that says, yes, you're mine. You're mine, Monty. You belong to me. And we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. So there are five questions. We've covered those five questions. And if you can say yes, there was a time in my life when I dealt with my sin. There was a time, and I know this is true, that I came to love and want to do the commandments of God. I desire to do that. I want to be right with God. You see, a person that doesn't know Christ doesn't want to be right with God. But you do. And then I love the things of God. It's good to be here this morning. It really is. And it's a good reminder to me. I want to do this because I love the work of God. I love the kingdom of God. I want His kingdom to come. I want Soma to do well. I love the people of God. And I sense when the Holy Spirit of God is working in my life. And I can take all five of those things and say, there's the test. And if I can look at all of those, then I know that I know that I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And 1 John 5:13 sums the whole book up. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We know that we have eternal life. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the honor, and it is an honor. You've called me to do this. And may I be able to do it as long as I have breath in my body to be able to declare the word of the Lord. I pray, Father, even these minutes that we've had together in some way has comforted a heart or strengthened a faith. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll bless the ministry right here at Soma. Bless the people that this means so much to them, and they are faithfully seeking to serve you. And Lord, help us all to know that we know you're our Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.